Hello and welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church. This week in worship, for World Communion Sunday, we enjoyed a service of peace. Let's listen.
I want to thank you guys so much for that presentation and for the CPJ team and all the work that they have done today to design this service. This is an important topic for us to be thinking about and talking about. I mean, how do we achieve peace in a world that so often resorts to violence and dissension over unity and harmony? Well, I believe a first step in that direction is to explore the scriptures, because God speaks through those scriptures to our context today as we as Christians try to achieve peace. And so today I wanted to highlight three principles of peace that are found in scripture. The first principle is this: peace begins with you. That comes from Romans chapter 12 when Paul says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Paul just shared a lofty goal for us, didn't he? I mean, live at peace with everyone. What about that neighbor that really gets under your skin because your neighbor maybe plays loud music at night or doesn't mow the lawn enough? Yeah, Paul says live at peace with everyone. What about that person on Facebook that shares those really obnoxious political views that you just can't stand? That one's going to be harder. But yes, Paul says live at peace with everyone. Now that is not an easy thing to do, but it does show us what the Christian goal is, and the Christian goal is to live at peace. Now, Paul does add a caveat to that, doesn't he? Paul says, as long as it depends on you. And there are some situations where peace may not be possible. I think in a situation where someone is trying to inflict violence on you or your family, a peaceful solution may be harder to find. And yet, I believe that peace is possible in a lot more situations than we give credit for. And so as far as it depends on you, we are to live at peace with everyone. In a later letter, in the letter of the Colossians, Paul makes this more explicit. When Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. You see, we all want peace to rule in our country and around the world, but for that to happen, peace must begin by ruling in us and in our hearts. Peace does not begin with your neighbor or your spouse or your coworker. No, peace begins with you and with me. And we get to make the choice to live at peace whenever it is up to us. The second principle of peace that we find in Scripture is that peace is not passive. Peter tells us that you must turn from evil and do good. You must seek peace and pursue it. You see, Peter tells us that peace is not simply the absence of conflict. No, instead, peace is a state that we must pursue. We must seek out in our worlds. I believe the opposite of pursuing peace is to have an attitude of apathy. Because apathy can lead to a feeling of indifference or inaction to the needs of those in our community and around the world. And I get it. The news can be hard to watch because it displays so many gut-wrenching and depressing things that are happening in our world. It can be hard to be invested in what is all going on. And yet, as Christians, we cannot put our head in the sand. We cannot adopt an attitude of apathy because Christ seeks us to pursue peace, to seek peace in our world. And so we get to look for solutions, peaceful solutions in the areas of our world that are in dissension and discord. To be apathetic or oblivious is to abdicate the Christian responsibility of pursuing peace in the world around us. A primary thought that can lead to apathy is this thought of there is nothing I can do. And I sure do feel like that when I look at a map like this. I look at this map and say, I can't do everything. I can't fix all of these problems. So there's nothing that I can really do. So I'm just going to focus on my own life and my own family. And that's a tempting thought. But what that sort of thought forgets is that although I can't do everything, I can always do something. And that's what Christ calls us to do in our lives, is to pursue some peaceful solution in the world that you live in. And so don't become overwhelmed by the needs of the world. I encourage you, pick one. Pick one situation that moves your heart, that breaks your heart, and pursue a peaceful solution in that area. Perhaps that means researching more about what's going on in a particular part of our country, our neighborhood, or the world around us. Perhaps that means donating your time or your money to a cause that really breaks your heart. Perhaps that simply means committing every day to pray for one particular area of the world. We can't do everything, but we can all do something. And when we choose to do something, we begin to pursue the peace that Christ asks us to pursue. The third principle of peace is that true peace is universal. The prophet Isaiah tells us that they will turn their swords into plows and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up the sword against other nations, and they will never again train for war. You see, what God is doing through the prophet Isaiah is God is casting a vision for the world that includes universal peace. It's like God is saying, someday nations will no longer bomb other nations. Someday war will be a thing of the past. Someday the weapons of war will be transformed into tools for harvesting food, where the swords will be turned into plows to plow the fields and provide food for the community. Yes, God provides a vision for universal peace in our world. And here's what that means for us today. What that means is that my peace cannot come at your expense, because we are all connected. We are all in this together. And so we must understand that for peace to truly be peace, it must be peace for everyone around the world, because everyone, regardless of where they live or what they look like, is made in the image of God. That's why World Communion Sunday is so important, because this is our time to acknowledge that peace can't just be for our country or their country, but must be for every country. Now, the thing about visions is that they don't show you where you are in the moment, but they show you where you're headed. And that's what Isaiah's words do here. People of faith have been inspired in these words to work towards this vision of universal peace that we have found in our scriptures. A good example of that, I believe, is Martin Luther King Jr. He took these sorts of words and then looked at the world that he lived in and said, that's not our reality yet. He lived in a world of racism and inequality, where people were judged by the color of their skin. And so Martin Luther King Jr. continually cast a vision of where the world could be headed if it followed the principles of peace that God is providing for us. He was a Baptist minister who preached often about this sort of vision. And I want to show you a video clip of one of his speeches, because in this speech, he uses the metaphor of being on the mountaintop. If you remember, this is a biblical illustration. Moses was on the mountaintop, and from the mountaintop, Moses could see the promised land. But Moses doesn't get to the promised land. No, he is not able to go there with his people, but he sees it. He points the way. And so in this clip, the promised land is an analogy, a metaphor for the type of world that God is ushering in. We're not there yet, but it's what we can point to. Let's go ahead and show the clip.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
He saw a vision of what the world could be from the mountaintop. And he said, I may not get there with you, and he didn't. This was the last speech that MLK ever gave. He was assassinated the next day, which is heartbreaking to think about. And yet the vision remains. The vision of what the world could look like if we pursue peace in every avenue. And I know the world is not there yet. We are a long way off. There are war-torn countries. There are people fleeing violence. There are people living in abject poverty. We are not there yet. But we cannot allow our hearts to be hardened. We cannot allow ourselves to become jaded because God has given us a vision, and it is a vision of peace. And so I encourage you to join the Christians from all over the world who are pursuing peace in every country. You see, that's why World Communion Sunday is so, so important. Because it's a reminder that it's not just about what we do here today, but it is what God is doing in and through Christians all around the world. So World Communion began last night as you were going to bed. And as Christians in China and the eastern part of the world woke up and in secret shared this Eucharist meal with one another. World Communion continues in the churches in Europe, the churches that were once much more full and yet are looking less full these days, and yet they join in celebration together as they share the Lord's Supper. World Communion continues in Africa and Latin America, the places where Christianity is booming. And yet, they often are under the threat of persecution and must meet in secret. world communion happened with Presbyterians and Methodists, with Catholics and Baptists, with those in denominations and those outside of denominations. It happens in wealthy churches and churches that are afraid they must soon close their doors. The one thing that every church has in common is we gather around this one table, around our one Lord Jesus Christ, who is pursuing peace in this world.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.